Meat.
BT.
What are we fighting over today?
Well, as you guys know, 2019, it marks the 10th anniversary since the All-Star Game was played right here in St. Louis at Busch Stadium.
All-Star Game stuff?
All-Star Game stuff, that's right.
I like it.
On Friday, July 12th, 30,000 fans ages 16 and older, they're going to take home a replica National League jersey from that game. You can get your tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions.
All right, very, very nice. Let's bring in today's fighter. It's Chris. Chris, how you doing?
Doing great, guys.
You ready to take on Megamind today?
I am ready. I'm hoping for Ed instead of Randy.
Oh, well, Ed's a good time.
I would love Ed to take a fight.
Yeah.
Here's a fun fact. Randy don't like Ed. You'll notice they get shut down pretty quickly.
Yes,
we're
going
to keep trying to make it have the
Well,
have
I
a
think
run.
It's a thing. The people like it.
Yeah. That was Ed getting a tattoo yesterday. Randy came and did the last 30 minutes of the show, but Ed got a tattoo.
That's right.
Ed drives a Harley as well, and I want to buy Randy a leather vest just to wear.
And by the way, because this is a celebration of the Stanley Cup and everything that's been happening, and we know how the Blues got to where they got, it's because of a song.
Yeah.
It's not because of Craig Berube. Well,
it's Gloria.
Yeah, it's Gloria. We want to know from you, the listener, we need more mic drops at the 101 ESPN app. What song should the Cardinals use?
And sing it for us. Let
sing
us know what
us.
It sounds like.
Yeah. I bet Laura Branigan was
she would sign
up there
off
watching
on that.
And proud.
Like, yes. Yes.
Yeah,
nailed.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ed. Pretty good.
Yeah, Ed. Ed is a happy-go-lucky kind of guy.
Not as good as you, Ed.
I love it.
All right, Chris. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Question number one. Along with Max Schrock, what other player did the A's send to the Cardinals in the Steven Piscotty deal? Was it Ryan Helsley, Tommy Edman, or Jairo Munoz?
Munoz.
Question number two. Besides Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is the only other player to win the NBA MVP award in a Bucks uniform? Was it Oscar Robertson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or Michael Redd?
Robertson.
Question number three. On this date in 2010, the Blues drafted Vladimir Tarasenko 16th overall. Who did they take two spots ahead of him with the 14th pick? Was it Jaden Schwartz, Ty Ratty, or Alex Petrangelo?
Randy.
And question number four, what city did the Athletics call home before moving to Oakland for the 1968 season? Was it Cleveland, Kansas City, or Philadelphia?
They did Philly and Kansas City. I'm going to say they moved from Kansas City.
All right, let's bring in Randy. Chris, how we feeling?
50-50.
50-50 sounds good. 50-50 has gotten some W's here recently. You know, you just never know.
Sometimes
never
an F
know.
Is a passing grade.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, do you have, we've been asking people for their mic drops, and they can still leave them on the 101 ESPN app for a song for the Cardinals. Like we need one. We need a Gloria for the Cardinals. You got anything in mind? Do you have a song or do you have an artist that you really love that could pertain to the Cardinals this year?
Absolutely not.
All right, perfect.
Okay, perfect.
No, that's kind of how I felt, too. That's why I was asking you. I was picking your brain. Randy, say hi to Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hi, Randy.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing. And the heat is on.
But you can't use the heat is on.
Can you?
Why? It's already been used.
Oh, yeah, and there's no heat. They do lead the league in stolen bases, don't they?
Yeah, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, yeah, but I still don't see the pitchers on the mound shaking like, oh, jeez. Wong's out there.
314.
Yeah. All right.
There it is.
All right, Randy.
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Question number one. Along with Max Schrock, what
Jairo
other
Munoz.
Player?
If it's along with Max Schrock, there's only one answer, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, it was Jairo Munoz.
Question number two, Randy.
Steve Piscotty trade.
Besides Giannis, who's the only other player to win the NBA MVP in a Bucks uniform?
I would think that'd be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Was he Lou Alcindor then? Is it on the list? Would it? Either way, it's Lou Alcindor, a.k.a. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 1971.
Same person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question number three, Randy. On this date in 2010, the Blues drafted Vladimir Tarasenko 16th overall. Who'd they take two spots ahead of that at 14th?
Schwartzy.
And question number four, what city did the Athletics call home before moving to Oakland for the 1968 season?
Kansas City.
We've got a winner. Chris, I'm sorry you got you. It is Jairo Munoz and Max Schrock that were traded for Stephen Piscotty.
Connected in perpetuity.
Yes, they are. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the only player besides Giannis to win the NBA MVP in a Bucks uniform. It is Jaden Schwartz, who was drafted 14th overall in the 2010 draft. And the Athletics called Kansas City home before moving to Oakland for the 1968 season. Chris, thanks for playing and try again.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris. 411, your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. By the way, the A's started in Philadelphia as the Philadelphia A's before moving to Kansas City for just like 5 years or something like that, and then moved on to Oakland and won three championships in a row in the early 70s.
Randy already won.
No, I'm just providing some stuff. I was talking to Favaz from Keishi, and he was asking.
Dropper.
Yeah, great guy.
He's awesome. He is a good dude.
Actually, both Favaz from Keishi and Cassidy from the Arch were asking about the tattoo and how it felt because they both have tattoos.
Did you take your shirt off?
I did. For Cassidy, I did.
Nice. That's cool.
Team player. She wanted to see the tattoo.
Yeah.
But it feels like, they said, it feels like sunburn, and I agree. It initially felt like sunburn. Now it feels really normal.
Yeah, it's been a lot of our text line is wondering an update, how you're feeling.
It's good.
Well, and by the way, if you haven't seen it yet, you can look at any of our social media for 101 ESPN, The Fastlane. It's on the Facebook page. It's on Twitter. It's an awesome tattoo.
And by the way, Randy's tattoo in the aftermath of it is not the most painful spot on his body today. He took a spill today.
Randy, you took a spill today?
Randy took a spill.
On my bike.
On his bike.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
what
I was riding on the Katy Trail. Yeah. Creek Corps Park is still flooded. So I went over to the Katy Trail, got on over at the arena bottom entrance there, and I was riding, I guess, northbound and was coming back, and just like in the snap of a finger, I was on the ground. I don't know what happened. And
snake?
It wasn't a snake. No, I wasn't. It was just the gravel went out from under me, and I fell on my left side. My head bounced off the. Well, I was wearing
a
helmet.
Did you
see the mark on his forehead?
I do now.
Yeah.
I just thought Joan hit you, and I didn't want to bring it up.
No.
you really got a tattoo. Joan doesn't sound like that.
That's
by
what
the
happened.
Way.
So I skinned up both knees. So the moral of the story: wear your helmet when you go out biking. I would have had, you know, how the, who was it? What Rams quarterback got the concussion in Baltimore? Was it Keenum? When they
he popped right back up. Well, they picked him up and threw him back out there.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically what happened to me. My head bounced off the gravel, and I got back up and started riding. You can't just stand there. You got to ride back.
That's right. Randy's such a badass.
Yeah, he is.
He's got a tattoo. He's a biker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
do you wear leather when you bike?
No.
You should.
It's one of my favorite parts of Super Troopers. Oh, biker bar.
So, and going back to that tattoo again, thanks to our friends, our new friends out at the Ink Spot in St. Peter's and in Troy. Big Dave Canoy did an amazing job, and they aren't normally open on Monday. They opened their doors and welcomed us with open arms, and we do appreciate it.
And also thanks to the helmet manufacturer. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a Randy today.
That's true. I'd probably just be concussed. Would have lost that fight.
Yeah, he would have lost the fight. You wouldn't have come in today. You'd take a little bit of a rest.
Oh, heck no.
Now you'd come in for that.
Big gamer.
Attaboy.
Yeah. Craig Berube signed a contract to remain head coach of the Blues. Lou Korak of NHL.com joins us to talk about it next on 101 ESPN. A busy day for the St. Louis Blues. They offered qualifying offers to 9 of their 11 restricted free agents. And, of course, took the interim tag officially off of head coach Craig Berube by giving him a 3-year contract. Lou Korak of NHL.com, kind enough to spend some time with us today. Louie, how you doing?
Good, Randy. How's the body art going?
It's completed. It's done. So the Blues are officially Stanley Cup champs.
I'm proud of you. You went through with it. I didn't know if you would actually go through with this or not, but you did. Boy, you're a man of your word.
Better, yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty bought into this one. I'm not sure if his wife is as happy.
Yeah, she's everybody's happy about it except for her.
Well,
probably the person that matters most.
It'll be great. It'll grow on him. Lou, we all knew this day was coming for Craig Berube. Knew that he would end up, taking the interim tag off. So, I mean, no surprise there. Excited for him. And we were talking about this earlier, Lou, and you are way closer to all the guys. You follow them all the time. You can tell when somebody is just just providing lip service when they're talking about their head coach. And you can tell when they genuinely, truly respect and care about him. And it seemed like every word that came from a Blues player was the latter. The respect from the players to Craig Berube is amazing, is it not?
Yeah, well, when you have that open line of communication with your players, and that's something that, you know, right off the hop that he made perfectly clear that, you know, he basically had an open invitation and told these guys, my door is always open, whether it's good or bad, you know, let's talk about it. And I think just from a player's perspective, you've got to appreciate that. And, you know, what I found fascinating about him is the fact that he pretty much treated all these guys as equals. I mean, you understand that, you know, a veteran's a veteran, and they're going to have a little bit of leeway there more than some of the younger guys. But, you know, I think the message was pretty clear to everybody, you know. I mean, he would pretty much outline to you, this is what I need from you. You need to do dot, 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 and dot. And if you can't, then, you know, we're going to have to address it. And, you know, I keep bringing up David Perron, but I think he was the perfect example of that, you know, when he made him a healthy scratch in that game in December. And, you know, David Perron didn't come out of that pouting or feeling upset about it. I'm sure he was angry, but, you know, naturally so. He's a veteran guy. He's earned the respect. But I think you saw a different David Perron after that game. And I think a lot of that has to do with the message that Craig Berube said, listen, this is what we got to have from you. We can't have this. And it's pretty straightforward. And, you know, I think a player just appreciates that and knows that he's going to listen to you. He's going to listen to, you know, what concerns you have, and then he's going to address it, you know, with a counterpoint. And then you just kind of hammer things out until you get to a resolution. And I think you guys saw, and I found a newfound respect for some of those postseason clips that we saw from the behind-the-scenes stuff. Man, I mean, if some of those things that you heard from Craig Berube coming out of the locker room, it almost got me fired up, and I'm not even a member of the team. So if it got my attention, I'm sure it got their attention as well. And it seemed like everything that, you know, was coming out of his mouth was something that would really motivate these players. And I think you saw the results, guys. I mean, from January on, this there was no stopping this team.
And as you mentioned, it's pretty rare that even with the best coaches in the world, there's always a guy or maybe a couple who just aren't quite on board because they're not getting personally what they want. But when you go through the process that he wanted them to go through, all the processes throughout the year, and it results in a Stanley Cup championship, how much equity does that buy him with those guys who may not be fully bought in, or any newcomers who might join the organization?
A lot, because that's just it. Nobody's ever going to agree here. Let's make that perfectly clear. You know, whether you like the message that he was giving or not, or the philosophies that he had on the game, I think the pinnacle here, and where the message got through to all these guys, is it may not be to your benefit always, but let's find the common goal here that's going to drive the team's success. And I think that's where it all really culminated. And that's where it was all pointing in the right direction, because, you know, at times you saw where, you know, maybe guys were sacrificing, some personal goals just to achieve team goals. And I think a perfect example of that is a guy like Braden Schenn. Didn't have necessarily the numbers that he had a year ago. Numbers were a lot better. But, I mean, he was excelling in other areas and playing a position that maybe he's not the most comfortable playing for the good of the team. I mean, you take him out of the center ice position, put him on the left wing with O'Reilly and Tarasenko, and all of a sudden that turned out to be one of the best lines in hockey. And by his own admission, Braden Schenn admitted he'd rather, you know, play down the middle, but, you know, I'm going to do what's right for the team. And that just goes back to Craig Berube and the message that he was trying to sell. And I just think bottom line is all these guys bought into that, you know, at the expense of some of their own success. And that's why you get to where you're at, because you don't have necessarily, and you saw it at the NHL Awards, you're not going to have a whole lot of superstars with the name St. Louis Blues behind it. But what you do have is Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, and that's all that matters.
Meanwhile, Lou Korak of NHL.com, the Blues did provide qualifying offers to 9 of 11 restricted free agents today. Connor Bleakley and Nikita Soshnikov not given offers. Barbashev, Blay, Binnington, Edmondson, Fabry, Husso, Rinkey, Sanford, and Sundqvist did. Any surprises? I didn't know what they would do with Fabry.
No, not really. And I'm not surprised. I mean, you're not going to, at this point, you're not just going to give up on a Robbie Fabry. And, you know, it's not the season that he wanted. It's not the season that the St. Louis Blues wanted. But, you know, you do have to take into consideration what he had gone through and what he's been through with two major knee surgeries. So you're still going to, while he's under team control, you're still going to work with that and see what you can come up with. And you never know. Maybe you get the old Robbie Fabry back, and maybe this was just one of those situations where, you know, he understands now fully what he has to do to try to get back to the success that he had when he caught the Blues' eye, and when they drafted him. And it's certainly not an easy injury to overcome, but you know, he's got youth on his side, and now he's going to have some drive and determination, because there have been other guys that have passed him up. So not really a surprise with any of those other names. And that's going to be the Blues' priority this offseason, is those, you know, their restricted free agents are going to get raises. That's why I really wouldn't expect guys heading into July 1st. I don't see them being any kind of players here in the free agent markets or in the trade business. You've seen a lot of trades going on, and that's just, you know, teams trying to navigate themselves around the salary cap, which a little bit of a surprise that it was set at $81.5 million. I think teams were anticipating 83, and you've already seen a guy like PK Subban traded away, probably a guy that Nashville didn't want to trade away, but they felt like they had no choice to carry a big cap hit like that. But I think the Blues are in a good situation. They don't need to really do too much to their team. They may lose a guy like a Carl Gunnarsson, and you know, we still don't know what's going to happen with a Pat Maroon. And as much as you'd like to keep a guy like Carl Gunnarsson, you know, some of the numbers you hear and prices being driven up by a need for defensemen, he may, and I would be really surprised if he doesn't get an offer somewhere else that, you know, is simply going to be out of the Blues price range. So you may lose a guy like him. And I know Delzato's out there. And again, like I mentioned, Pat Maroon, but Blues are in a good spot, but that's where a lot of their remaining salary cap that they have available is going to be driven, and it's going to be driven by what they offer to their restricted free agents.
Lou, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, boys, have a good afternoon. Take care.
You too. That is Lou Korak, NHL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at LKorak10. Mark Saxon of The Athletic, our Cardinal insider, tweeting that John Mozeliak says Alex Reyes has a strained pectoral muscle and should miss just 2 or 3 starts. Austin Gomber is still working back from a sore shoulder, so the Cardinal pitching depth is obviously being tested. But that's good news about Reyes, 2 to 3, if that's accurate.
Yeah, well, but it's still a big deal, because 2 to 3 starts, I mean, he was building up. He was trying to get innings. You miss 2 to 3 starts, you're kind of starting over again. Mm-hmm. So disappointing, nonetheless. It's going to be an active trade deadline for the Cardinals, I got a feeling.
And they need a song. They need a song. That would turn everything around. We want to hear from you with the Mic Drop feature, the 101 ESPN app. What song do you think the Cardinals should adopt to spark a turnaround? You are next on 101 ESPN. So how often do you just randomly start singing that song? Because the Blues won the Stanley Cup to Gloria by Laura Branigan in 1982.
It's tapered off a tiny bit for me in the last couple of days, but it really was happening around the house. And my wife was like, "Are you singing that again? Seriously?" I'm like, "Yeah, sorry."
The whole city is singing.
Just Gloria. Just Laura Branigan. Caught on. It's going to be here forever.
It is.
Might as well love it.
It hasn't happened for me a lot lately, but for a while there, I was waking up hearing it in my head.
I still don't know all the words either. I just hum.
I don't either. I know the Gloria part.
Gloria.
And then something about an alias.
Alias.
That's it.
Hey, we want to know what song you would like to apply to the Cardinals of 2019 to get them going, like Gloria got the Blues going. And these guys have summarily dismissed my idea of The Heat Is On.
Well, Randy,
it's just
been
like it's
used.
Been done. That's not organic.
The song is newer than Gloria.
Yeah, but yes. but it's already been done with a team.
Yeah, that's true.
A Cardinals team.
I wonder if any of these Cardinals have any idea, though.
About The Heat Is On?
Yeah. Oh,
I bet they do.
Maybe. Well, let's hear from Eric and see what he has to say.
We're not going to make it. No. We ain't gonna make it. We won't make the playoffs again. Unless they get their head out of their keister and sign somebody.
This is hilarious that that was the song that he went with, because I just a second ago typed in Twisted Sister, we're not going to take it. And I felt like that would be a good one. We're not going to take it. But he goes, we're not going to make it right off the bat. We're kind of on the same wavelength, little bit apart.
Yeah, he might be onto something, though. I hope not, but he might be.
Let's get one from Roger.
I think the Cardinals fight song should be whatever the heck Brett Hull was singing the other day at the parade. That would be awesome.
Okay. That is so good.
Real quick, full disclosure. Half the time I would wake up hearing Glory in my head, it's this version.
It's a good version.
I'm not kidding.
It's kind
you.
Of
I'm
a, hearing... like a metal rock-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm hearing Brett Hull singing Gloria sleep.
That'll get you to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was tough to sleep.
David is next on 101 ESPN.
The song by The Police, Every Breath You Take, is about stalking, and the Cardinals need to stalk their opponents. They need to become feared. That's when the Cardinals were good. These past 8 years, they have not been feared. They've been a joke.
Is it about stalking?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Why didn't I know that? I don't know, it just sounded nice. It's about stalking?
Yeah.
I should listen to lyrics more. I'll be watching you, seriously.
It's pretty disturbing.
Right,
this is what Sting was thinking about.
I just thought it was like somebody that really cared for somebody and was just always looking over them in a nice, harmless way.
Yes.
This is kind of a harmful
without
way.
He was looking over them without their permission.
I'll sneak up behind you when you're on a date. Yeah, no, that sounds right.
How about Thomas on 101 ESPN?
I think a perfect theme song for the Cardinals would be Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You know I'm going to keep me down.
I like that.
I would love to bring back a one-hit wonder. Like if that were the organic song, like if the Cardinals take off, their next road trip is to San Diego. So they're sitting at a place in the Gas Lamp District, and all of a sudden it's Chumbawamba Tub Thumping comes on. And they're like, oh, that's our jam. And then all of a sudden after every win they're playing that thing. I could get behind that.
That would be great. The key to it is getting back up again. You know, they're going to get knocked down. They just have to do the second part.
Totally get back up again.
Right.
Let's hear from Chris on 101 ESPN.
You can't always get what you want. No, you can't always get what you want. Oh, you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need to get that wild card spot.
You're the voice of an angel.
That's great stuff.
I'll throw that out there.
Yeah, well, thanks, Chris.
What you need.
They need a starting pitcher and a reliever.
Maybe that's a trade deadline song.
And maybe. And potentially a corner infielder. I don't know.
And we have one more mic drop with the 101 ESPN app.
The song I think the Cardinals should adopt is I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor. Because guess what? They will survive.
You think I'll lay down and cry?
Yes.
I will survive.
I think that's my winner so far out of all of these. I mean, if it's not going to be Lady Humps by Black Eyed Peas, then I go with this. What about, you know what the Cardinals deserve, Randy? You know what I think they've earned over the years is a little respect. It gets better.
That's the song right there.
It gets better with age.
Yeah, it does.
My great friend, Aretha Franklin. Some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Man, he thought about that line for a long time.
Isn't that a great idea, though? For this particular team, the opponent gets cheered at home for an entire weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait.
But it was a special opponent. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
We have, a few of the Cardinals are friends of this show. And certainly, even the ones that don't come on with us, they're listening, like, on their way into the ballpark. Probably right now, like, at the field, guys got their headphones in. What if we had the song ended up being a little Greg Oden?
Oh, my.
Hey, we want Greg Oden! Hey, we want Greg Oden!
in.
No, going
we,
in there.
We couldn't get Laura Branigan into town for various reasons. The major one being she's dead.
Yeah, that's going to be the tough one.
But Greg Oden is still around.
Yeah. Yeah, he would probably come to town.
He would love
if,
he
if
would
in
love
fact
us.
That he were the rallying. Could you imagine going in? It's a post game scrum. Whoever the starting pitcher tonight, Jack Flaherty. You're going there interviewing him. All you hear in the background, somebody say, "Hey, we want Greg Oden." And then he says, "I'm sorry, guys. Excuse me. Hey, we want Greg Oden." Yeah. Oh man, I'm feeling it. I think that
great idea.
It's an idea. All we can do is just throw stuff out there. It has to happen organically
if
they're going to have a song.
We could bring him in, and we could ask him his memories of the 64 World Series.
Greg Oden?
Yeah.
It looks like you should be able to ask him that. It definitely looks like it did out of college.
Those are all better ideas than the people texting in with various songs with the word loser in it. Yeah. I just don't think
did
that's
we get
nice.
Beck?
Beautiful.
Did we hit a bunch
we
of
got
Beck? Beck?
We got Loser by Jerry Garcia. Beautiful Loser, Bob Seger.
Bob Seger, yeah. There you go.
There's too much of that.
Cardinals with some news on Alex Reyes today. And, of course, the word that...
In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey.
Word that Jordan Hicks will undergo Tommy John surgery tomorrow. The injury expert, Will Carroll, joins us to talk about the... expected return times for those pitchers next on 101 ESPN. ESPN's Buster Olney talking about, of course, the Cardinal closer Jordan Hicks. News about Jordan Hicks today that he will undergo Tommy John surgery tomorrow. And the Cardinal general manager, well, the POBO, President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak, saying that the Alex Reyes injury should only keep him out for 2 to 3 starts with a strained pec. We head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line and friend of the show, Will Carroll, the injury expert, kind enough to join us. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. You're making me come in like the Grim Reaper again.
Yeah, it's kind of the way it works. I want to start with this. Do you agree with what Buster Olney said, that if a guy's throwing 100, 101, 102, that it's just a fait accompli that he's going to wind up having Tommy John?
No, because we have guys that have survived. Unfortunately, it's just Aroldis Chapman. Why is Aroldis Chapman different? We simply don't know. What we know is that certainly they're at more risk. But it's not just throwing 104 miles an hour that causes Tommy John surgery. I've seen guys who barely crack 90 that have Tommy John surgery.
Thanks,
I've
Will.
I've seen kids 13, 14 years old that have Tommy John surgery, and they're certainly not throwing 100 miles an hour. It is not the force, the velocity that counts. It's the force. So if you're putting too much force on your elbow too many times without the proper rest and recovery, something is going to break. So I agree with him. Maybe there's more risk when you're throwing 104 miles an hour. But the fact is that Jordan Hicks has been doing it for, 10, 12 years of his life and didn't break down before now. That tells me this is more about the workload and the recovery than it is about the force. It wasn't one pitch that did him in. We can do better.
Well, what does we can do better mean, though? Because the workload and the recovery thing, can it just be the 12 years of leading up to this? I know we can do better is kind of a vague statement. What does that mean?
Well, it means that as simple as this, and I'll try not to sound too much like a commercial for my company, Modus Global. We make a product that tracks the workload and force on the elbow with each and every throw. It costs $150. You think Jordan Hicks should have had one of those? Do you
yes.
think that your son or a high school pitcher should have one of those? Is that worth the investment? So just monitoring the workload gives you the same thing. For God's sakes, if you have an Apple Watch, you're tracking every single step. You're tracking every single heartbeat. We're tracking all this data. And when you think about the data in baseball, the fact that we don't know how much force pitchers are putting on their arms with each and every throw is pretty amazing. And again, it's not because of cost. This is $150 retail. Heck. I'll give Jordan Hicks a discount if he wants one for his rehab. And the Cardinals have used it for rehab programs like Alex Reyes. So we can do better. We can also just manage the workload. You don't have to buy my product to do this. All you have to do is watch. If you have a guy who's out there watching the guy who's monitoring the workload, who's using a tool like ultrasound, think about the ultrasounds you've seen when your wife or girlfriend or somebody you know has a baby. Have you seen those 3D ones? Where, you can see the baby's face?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Why aren't we doing that every day on a pitcher's elbow to see, a UCL is not the cutest thing to look at, but I want to see whether there's any trauma. I want to see whether there's any microtrauma, whether there's spraying that would have told me, hey, maybe today is not the day for Jordan Hicks to go out there and throw 104.
I feel like there's always going to be a little something. You have a limited roster, right? You have a 25-man roster. I think it's going to be very difficult to do something like that, is it not?
No, no. Imagine if you could put a gas gauge on each and every one of your pitcher's shoulders, on those six, seven, eight guys that you have in the bullpen, that could tell you, hey, this guy's ready today. He's going to be very effective. Or, hey, this guy could rest. We have the capability to do that technologically through a number of means, including the sensor we use in Modus Global. So it's one of those things that, yeah, we can do better. It's a question of, do you want to do better? Do you want to just watch the guys? Do you want to use the kind of workload and fatigue measures that they use in European soccer? Do you want to use the kind of technologies that Major League Baseball itself is talking about putting in with wireless cameras and sensing the limbs the way that we do with motion capture technology in movies? All that is available. The question is, what do you want to do? Now, can we have every single pitcher? Can we prevent this down to zero? No, absolutely not. Unfortunately, this is like smoking. You don't take a cigarette, take a puff, and immediately get lung cancer. It takes years and years of damage. And that's what we see with ulnar collateral ligaments. These don't blow out from a one-time event. This is the straw that broke the camel's elbow in most cases. So what we can do is take it from the 31% of pitchers right now in Major League Baseball that have that triangular scar on their elbow down to 20, 15, 10. How much would that be worth? If you take the last 5 years of pitchers' salaries that have missed games through the DL, that is $1 billion. Mm. If Major League Baseball owners in any of their businesses lost $1 billion, I think they would be looking into it pretty closely.
How much would it help if teams were to expand rosters by a player or two, and that player or two is a reliever?
We know very, very little about relievers and workloads because Major League Baseball has never studied it. We have literally no idea what the workload on these guys is. When we put our Modus sensor out 3 years ago and first put it on Major League pitchers, we got the first look at this, so we're getting an idea. But Major League Baseball, for all their billions of dollars, has not funded 1 cent of research in terms of relievers, workload, and recovery. So these guys get up 2, 3, 4 times a week. They get up multiple times in the bullpen. We don't know how they react to that. So I'd say the first thing they should do is deal with research so we can figure out whether another man would be helpful or whether we'd just be breaking another guy.
The injury expert, Will Carroll, with us on 101 ESPN. Hey, we also wanted to ask you about Alex Reyes, and it seems like every time we have you on, there's another Alex Reyes injury. Now it's a strained pectoral muscle. John Mozeliak saying he should miss 2 or 3 starts. Obviously, his injury history is alarming, but last year he had the lat. Now he's got a pec. Are you concerned about that right side of his body?
Yeah, of course. You know, what we've got to do is figure out a way to get Alex to a point where he's able to be effective for more than just the short term. And it's frustrating. But in this case, first you have to know what we're dealing with. Pectoral muscle, you think of, you know, like John Cena or Terry Crews popping their pecs. This is actually up in the shoulder. If you think where that muscle actually attaches up at the top of the shoulder, if I pointed to it, you would say shoulder injury. And certainly with any pitcher, really worry about a shoulder injury. But you brought up a key point. Last year it was the lat. This is going up his arm rather than down. So this is a kinetic chain issue. He's getting too much force on something as he's throwing the ball, and something's breaking down. Any chain is going to have a weak link. You fix one, something else is now the weakest. So this is something, it's bad. You certainly don't want it. But moving up the kinetic chain is usually better than moving down the kinetic chain. If we've seen with guys like Steven Strasburg or others, where they start getting – you know, shoulder, lat, back, those are problematic. There's not a whole lot you can do to correct those other than really adjust their biomechanics. With this, you've got to strengthen things. You've got to make sure they're not putting too much stress on their elbow because that's obviously bad. But with Reyes, this is just unfortunate more than anything else. And, again, we need to manage what he's doing and watch his workload very, very closely.
Will, as always, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. We do appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That is the injury expert Will Carroll on 101 ESPN. The Blues have just announced that Vladimir Tarasenko underwent successful arthroscopic surgery on his left knee. He will be reevaluated in 4 weeks. And BT is headed downtown for the pregame for the Cardinals and the A's.
You should definitely listen to the Fast Lane and watch that at the same time. I think it's going to be glorious.
It's like hearing four people in the Fast Lane. It'll be you and Scott Warman and Ron Janai.
We've got a dirt bike competition on. Do we change the channel? Well, here
no,
in the
keep
studio,
it right or... here. Keep it right here, and okay. Then I'll just pop right on that screen.
I've been mesmerized by it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
We'll be tuned in tonight, sir. Thank you.
Can't wait.
And we'll
Phil,
see
thank you
tomorrow.
I'll miss you. You see me the next day.
Next day.
We got an early game tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, that's right. 6:15 tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Have fun. We'll be tuned in. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, and coming up, want to know how to make a bunch of people mad and make yourself look like a total jerk? You got that next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.